Hello and welcome back to the Yellow Pod. As always, I'm your host, Adri P. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for stopping by and checking out the podcast today. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for continually checking in and tuning in to new episodes every single week. I'm not sure how good you guys can hear it because TBH, I didn't buy the most expensive microphone to make this podcast with, but I am hella nasally because I'm hella fucking sick. I'm going on, what is this, day six? I don't know, somewhere around there, of being really sick. Came out of nowhere, grabbed me by the throat, took me for a ride. You all know that saying, when it rains, it pours. When it rains, it motherfucking pours, you guys. In the span of like a couple days, I had $7 to my name, $7 to my name. I had no gas in my car. I got really fucking sick. Like all of us, like my whole body was aching. I was driving back from somewhere and it was about like a 45 minute drive. And I was crying the whole way. I thought I was going to have to pull over and just sit on the side of the freeway for a while. Like my butt bones were throbbing because every single joint in my body was just aching. I had a sexy little fever of 101.4. The highest it got was 101.6. I'm so thankful though that my girlfriend, like it just so happened, it was on like all of her days off of work. So she was able to literally nurse me back to health. And now we are left with this nasalness. But on the flip side, I am now a tea drinker. I got my hot tea right here because it helps my throat and all my sinuses. But yeah, that's just what's been going on. You know, the last couple days have not been fun. And even prior to me getting sick, I was kind of on like a downhill little slope as far as like me and my depression and things like that. And I will be the first to admit, I noticed that I almost immediately reverted back to old ways of dealing with my depression and things like that, letting it consume me, being very over self-critical and having these like very intrusive thoughts, convincing myself that no one wants me around and I'm too much to deal with. So notice these things about yourself and notice that they need to change because it's not fair to yourself to keep yourself in this like brain jail where your brain is being so mean to you and then the other part of your brain is like, wait, we've worked so hard to like not think this way. Just acknowledge the parts that you need to work on. I'm doing it. You can do it. We can do it together. We got this. It'll all be okay. Anyways, it's just a little what I'm up to. A whole lot of nothing, really, just being sick and depressed, but it's whatever. Today's episode is our second write-in submission. I don't know what's going on, but all of a sudden I got a whole bunch all at once, so I'm really excited because this is amazing. Like, our little Yellow Pod community is growing, and I'm super excited for it to continue growing and to continue hearing from everyone. There's some things on my end that I want to kind of like start doing to make episodes more fun to listen to, kind of like bring people on sort of thing. So then it's not just my voice the whole time. But today's episode is another write-in submission. This one came through on Instagram and I felt like it was something that I should share. I do want to put a trigger warning on this episode as we will be talking about trauma bonds, childhood trauma, and how childhood trauma left unresolved can kind of carry over into your adult life and what that looks like. So, and also there is talk of eating disorders in this episode. So take that information, do with it what you will. If you don't want to listen to this episode, you're not in the right headspace to listen to it. Completely understand. Exit out right now. I am not offended in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, we'll just get on with it. So this write-in submission comes from Mara. I really hope I said your name right. And it starts, "Hi, Adri, I just binged your entire podcast yesterday, went crazy on your TikToks, and was trying really hard not to spam like. Anyways, I wanted to say thank you for acknowledging what is usually kept so secret to the point of hurting ourselves over such things. You are so welcome, Mara. I'm so glad you found my podcast and everything, and that you feel a sort of sense of safety," I guess. That's the whole point of all of the things I put out there. She continues on and says, "I've dealt with depression and anorexia and so much more than I would like, and always kept it so hidden because being the bigger sister, I am the example, the doll on display, and the one who is supposed to be perfect, but I am not. And when I did tell the people I'm supposed to trust, aka my parents, they basically shut me down, told me it was in my head, told me that I would be allowed to unalive myself and they wouldn't try and stop me. Jeez, Mara, I'm so sorry. They also ignored me for half of a year and so much more honestly fucked up things. I've been trying to heal my inner child and just myself in general. I recently got into a relationship and I was terrified of being so open because of the toxic relationships I would pursue in the past, and I didn't want to force that upon them, nor realize that I had slipped into old habits again. Anyways, although the point of this was to say thank you, I ended up just rambling, which is also why I thank you so much for sharing your life and your thoughts with us, because you and the way you think and speak have made me feel so much less lonely. Oh, I'm so happy. I really hope that this podcast and things like that also do the same for other people. Like, I'm so sorry that you relate in any sort of way, but I'm really happy that you feel so much less lonely in such a giant world." Mara continues on to say, "Anyways, you said that we could just ask to touch upon something, and there is one thing I would love to hear your input on: healing yourself from toxic parents while still living with them because of trauma bonding. Such a fun topic. I'm joking, it's a heavy topic, but I would like to know your thoughts in general on it, and how do you navigate something like that? Probably should have done an email, but too late now. I'm so sorry." Never apologize. I will take write-in submissions wherever they come from. It's just easier in my email inbox. But thank you so much, Mara, for reaching out. And yeah, this is, like she said, a heavy topic. Trauma bonding is crazy. It doesn't always happen in a parent-child relationship. It can happen in a platonic relationship, a romantic relationship. So with some research, I am ready to dive into this topic, and let's just go for it. Quick side note, any way you all wish to reach out to me, whether it's on Instagram, it's on TikTok, it's via email, reach out to me. I love connecting with you guys outside of the podcast and on a more personal level. Please, anytime you feel inclined to, just message me on something, because more likely than not, like, I am on the other side of the phone, like, squealing because you're like, "Oh my gosh, your podcast." Like, I think it's the coolest fucking thing that so many people have started listening to this podcast. The first thing I want to dive into is Mara's little kind of poke at being the oldest child, being the doll on display and things like that, the child who is supposed to be the example. And I just want to share a statistic with you all. It is said that people who are in the position of being the older child, the eldest child in the family, are 8% more likely to develop depression because of high expectations of parents. And then also, not only do they have these high expectations on them, suddenly they are losing the attention due to another sibling being born. And along with being the oldest child, there is this such thing called oldest child syndrome, which is obsession, desire for perfection, high self-esteem, or pressure to meet the parents' expectations are common signs of oldest child syndrome. Children with oldest child syndrome could show dominance and act as second parents to siblings, which, like, isn't the worst thing because parents always need a helping hand, but at the same time, it's like, at what cost? A lot of the times, these kids who are in the placement of being the eldest child, they often, their childhood kind of gets cut short because they are expected to step up to the plate, start helping out with their siblings, and more responsibility is put on them to be, like, as the oldest child syndrome kind of talked about, being like a second or third parent in the household to help those busy parents who are working a shit ton, especially in today's society. Everyone is working 40, 60 hour weeks because everything is ridiculously expensive, but you are taking a child and you are giving it the responsibilities of an adult at such a young age, and you're cutting their childhood, like, not in half, you're just, like, basically saying, like, fuck you to the rest of your childhood, you need to help out with your younger siblings. And again, I'm not saying, like, the eldest children should not be helping out with their family and, like, I don't know, things like that, because I know how to change a diaper. I know how to take care of a baby. And, like, I know all these things because it was expected of me to help with my brothers. But at the same time, there needs to be a very clear, concise balance of still being able to be a child and having a childhood and not having the responsibility of being an adult, because it is a child. It is not an adult yet. And versus expecting them to be like a third parent in the house. I have also come to learn that being the oldest child influences a higher percentage of having anxiety, and also just not like talking about like things that you're going through and things like that, because you are held to a standard of these responsibilities of being an adult. And typically adults, they can't complain to their children. They can't be like, oh my gosh, I had such a hard day, blah, 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 blah. Like, adults are supposed to handle their emotions in an adult way, and that same pressure is put on a child, thus making them more anxious later on, developing depression, because they were not allowed to in a healthy way, process their emotions. They were expected as a child experiencing all these crazy emotions, especially around middle school, junior high, high school, to then process them as an adult, even though they are not fully developed as an adult would be. And in doing so, later on down the line, these same people deal with things such as like PTSD and just like complete emotional shutdown because that's what they've been taught to do. They've been taught that they have to take care of others before they take care of themselves. From like a very young age, it kind of depends on whenever the parental figures throw that sort of third parent responsibility on this child, but it completely shapes the way that they turn into adults. They are now a full grown adult who can't process their emotions, completely shuts down, and they don't really know how to, like, in a healthy way, navigate their emotions or any sort of conflict, because they've just been taught to kind of bulldoze over it and continue helping in any way that they are needed. And for any of my parents who are listening, I don't really know. I don't think a lot of parents listen to this. My audience is a little more on the younger side, but really take a second to kind of internalize how you treat your eldest child, because how you do and the amount of pressure and responsibility you throw on a child, if you are putting adult level pressure and responsibilities on a child, you are completely dipping them of their childhood. And really take a second and ask yourself why you are expecting them to live up to these adult responsibilities and pressure and things like that, because if you're not doing it for like a good way or a good reason, I guess, I don't want to be the one to tell you how to parent, but I don't think you should be doing it at all. And that brings me to the next point that Mara touched on, is when she said when she did tell the people that she's supposed to trust, aka her parents, they shut her down, told her it was in her head, told me that she would be allowed to unalive herself and they wouldn't try to stop her. And then they ignored her for half a year. And this is prime example of parents who are expecting their child, their eldest child, to be an adult. They are telling her it's all in her head, she's being dramatic, and that she could unalive herself and they wouldn't try to stop her. And the biggest thing that I want to make a point on here is, back in a couple episodes, I expressed to you all how typically people who are in a low and in that mindset where they're making a plan to do something and to make a very serious commitment to end their life, all they want to do is to be stopped. And then for you to tell your parent and reach out to your parent and they're like, I don't really give a fuck, do whatever you want, I'm not gonna try to stop you if you think you're better off dead. Like, that is a complete slap in the face, because all you want is for someone to say, no, don't do it. Are you kidding me? And then for her parents to ignore her for half a year, it's just back to this idea of putting this adult level pressure and expectations and responsibility on a child. We are not fully developed until we're like 24, 25 years old. How do you expect a kid, I don't know how old Mara was in any of these situations, but how do you expect a kid who is in high school or junior high to process their emotions in a healthy way if their brain isn't all the way developed, but then also you're expecting them to process them at the level of an adult because you are expecting the child to be an example and nothing can be wrong with them. And this will segue right into trauma bonding. That kind of emotional, kind of manipulative, like emotional abuse, such as you can unalive yourself if you don't really care, or like I'm gonna ignore you for a year and a half. And then to flip it around and be like, oh my gosh, my oldest child is like a shining star. They're the example. They do everything perfect. And you are putting the oldest child up on this pedestal. And then you are telling the younger siblings, you need to be more like them because they're perfect. This creates a trauma bond. The definition of trauma bonding is it occurs when a narcissist repeats a cycle of abuse with another person, which fuels a need for validation and love from the person being abused. It can also be one reason that leaving an abusive situation can feel confusing and overwhelming, because it involves positive and or loving feelings for the abuser, making the abused person feel attached to and dependent on their abuser. And you can see this in any sort of relationship with anyone who walks the whole earth, whether they're a platonic, romantic, or a family member. And it is truly something that is ridiculously hard to break, especially when this kind of bonding happens with your parent, because you are born into the world, okay? You are a little baby, BB. And you are brought into the world and you see these people, these two people who are supposed to take care of you. However they show love to you is all you know how to receive love. So if right off the bat they are narcissistic in any sort of way and very manipulative, very toxic, that's all you know. You're like, oh yeah, this is how love is, right? This is exactly the way love is supposed to be. There you go, linked trauma bond. And I think the thing that people don't understand is our childhood, while it is only anywhere between 18 to 21 years, like that could be your childhood. I'm using the term childhood as like living with your parents. While it may only be like a quarter of your life, potentially, it affects the way you do everything from there on out. And words stick. What's that saying? It's like the axe forgets the tree, but the tree remembers the axe, sort of thing. Any words or any emotional manipulation or emotional abuse, physical abuse, those stick. Especially your words. Your words fucking stick. And I don't think people really think that, like, oh, it's just blah. Like, I'm just joking with you. I'm just fucking with you. Like, you know, that's not true, right? Like, I love you. When people fucking say, you know, that's not true, right? I love you. Fuck them, dude. If you truly love me, you wouldn't have fucking said that in the first place. Besides the point, like Mara said, she typically finds herself in toxic relationships. And that is because when you are brought into a family and all you know is toxic love, that's all you're going to search for as an adult. You don't know any better. You don't know until someone shows you, or until you realize, like, wait, this isn't like the way that I want to be loved by my partner or my significant other, whichever term you prefer. This doesn't feel right. Why doesn't it feel right? And once you start noticing these things, like, wait, this isn't the kind of love, you immediately almost internalize it and you're like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I accept this love? This person is giving me love. whether it be toxic, whether it be great, why am I not accepting of this love? And Mara said she's now in a relationship that I believe is good. Yes, it does say that it's good. But it takes a lot of fucking time to realize that the way that you've been receiving love your entire life is wrong. And then it takes a lot of like, what the fuck? Like, how the fuck am I actually supposed to be loved and cared for in this world? Like, what? This is crazy. Like, think of being told your entire life that, I don't know, the word tree is not like, doesn't mean tree. Let's say like the word tree, it means coffee mug. And you've been told that your whole life. Someone holds up a coffee mug and they're like, tree. And you're like, tree, fuck yeah. Then all of a sudden you go out into the real world and you're like, what? A tree is what? Are you sure that's a coffee mug? What? Like, it's terrifying, one, because you're like, well, what the fuck else have I been like believing, and it's not true. And it's also very hard to unlearn everything because it's been engraved in your brain since you could think. Now getting to the whole point of Mara's write-in. She says, I would love to hear your input on healing yourself from toxic parents while still living with them because of trauma bonding. It's difficult. And I think it's extremely hard because, one, as much as we can be like, parents need to be doing better, parents need to be doing better, like, realize that, like, your kids are kids, blah, 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 we also need to realize that majority of us who have a shit ton of fucking unresolved childhood trauma is because our parents were broken themselves. And the generation before our parents said, fuck mental health. We don't give a fuck about your mental well-being. Literally, fuck you. You need to do this. You need to have like 10 kids, blah, 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 blah. So as much as our parents are toxic, I think the biggest thing that helps is seeing them for being broken. And not broken in the sense of like, hey, you're weak, like you little weak-ass bitch. Just acknowledging the fact that your parents are human. This is their first time navigating life as well. This is not like their third or fourth time doing this life. Everybody only got one chance. We're all just out here kind of like fucking around until we make it. But seeing them for being broken human beings who are just trying their best can go a long way, especially if you're still living with them. It is extremely difficult to be living with anyone who causes you any sort of toxicity, and you're trying to unlearn that toxicity and you're trying to heal yourself from it, and you're still in that environment. My best suggestion would be get a journal, really spend a lot of time out of the house, spend a lot of time with yourself, really just focus on yourself, because at the end of the day, as much as we wish for people to change, and we can beg them and ask them and plead with them to change, it is completely up to them to do so. People are not going to change because someone else wants them to. And the biggest thing is do not be mean to yourself like they're mean to you. So many times people who grow up in toxic households, they have such a negative mindset, especially those who are in the placement of being the oldest child. You have so much pressure on you, and you are expected to hold that pressure on yourself when you are a kid so you can take care of your other siblings and things like that. So as you move along into adulthood, you are still utilizing those same like negative talk in your brain to keep that pressure on you. You are still putting yourself under pressure, even though no one's like, hey, you need to be holding yourself up to this high expectation as an adult, even though you have free will to do your own thing. Do not continue that cycle. Break it. Break it in your brain. You are not the things that your parents say you are. You are not the expectations that you hold, that they hold you to. You are your own individual human being. Let your brain be a place where, like, as cheesy as it is, it's rainbows and butterflies, and it is your safe space, and it is comfy, and it is warm, and it is welcoming. Do not let your parents' expectations or words that they've said to you stay locked in your brain. And one more thing that could be beneficial is setting boundaries and trying to stick to them. But I know that that is easier said than done, especially if you are still living with your parents and you are trying, they are the ones that you are trying to heal yourself from. Because more often than not, I read a statistic somewhere, I'll find it later, I'll let you guys know, but parents do not see the need to respect their child's boundaries because the way that they view themselves is they are the parent, they are above all, they are the person who makes the rules. So if their child is telling them that they have a boundary, please do not cross it. The parent is typically like, yeah, fuck you and your boundaries. I brought you into this world. I'm going to do whatever I want. A parent who respects their child and loves their child would respect those boundaries and understand that there is a reason that their child needs those boundaries. So that is always something you can try. It is, of course, easier said than done. But I am sending you all of the luck and all of the strength and all of the love. And I don't know, like, all the details surrounding Mara's situation, like how old she is, when she plans on moving out, things like that. But another thing that could help is creating a timeline or a deadline in your brain, and maybe you just share it with like one other person that you trust. You don't have to tell your parents, but creating that timeline of when you plan to move out and working towards that goal of moving out, becoming financially independent so you can move out. Because I truly do think in order to fully heal from the toxicity from whatever person in your life that is bringing you that toxicity, you need to be completely removed from them. Because yes, you can heal and try and do all of this work, but if they are still very much in your life and they still have a lot of control over you and things like that, you're not going to be able to fully heal. Releasing yourself from a trauma bond is incredibly hard. So please give yourself grace. Take time and really don't beat yourself up if it's not happening as fast as you wish. Unlearning toxicity that you've only known from the second that you were fresh out of the womb is extremely difficult. Give yourself grace. Give yourself time. Really understand that you are unlearning loads and loads and loads of trauma and manipulation and things like that. It's not going to happen overnight. Just please, please, please remember it is going to take time. You got it. This is, like Mara said, a very heavy topic, and it's a deep topic. I can continue talking about this literally all day. I'll probably make another episode about various things around the same realm of things, but for now, we are going to end today's episode there. If you are new to the podcast, thank you so much for coming and checking out the podcast in the first place. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for continuing to come back and check in every single week. I appreciate the heck out of you guys. Like this one, if you wish to have something featured on the podcast, send me your write-in submissions. Send it over to my email, adriannapollock12@gmail.com, with the subject line TYP. Write in, let me know your pronouns, let me know if you wish to stay anonymous. It can literally be anything. And you can also send it over to me on Instagram if you wish. I will include full detailed like notes and things like that in the show notes of this episode on how to send over to me, including my email and all of that good stuff. Otherwise, please connect with me outside of the podcast. Check out my social platforms, all of those things. I love connecting with you and like I said earlier at the beginning of the podcast, like actually like chatting with you outside of the podcast and being able to like have full-on conversations. Even if it's just over DMs and messages. I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. I am making merch. I wanted to have it done like a while ago. Not a while ago. I wanted to have it done like last week and like more of an idea of what it was going to look like. But then I got sick and I was straight up just deceased for a couple days. So stay on the lookout for that. I'm really excited. I think the first thing that I have an idea of is going to be pretty dope, and I hope you all like it. But as always, I'm your host, Adri P. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today, and I will catch you all next week. Later, skaters.